For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, December 13th, 2006. This week, as part of a special report on messaging security, Burton Group analyst Diana Kelly discusses the latest threats to the technology and where the solutions are. But first, our top story. Microsoft released its December security update Tuesday, patching flaws in Windows and Visual Studio. But the update did not address zero-day flaws in Microsoft Word, which have already been targeted by attackers. According to the French Security Incident Response Team, the latest problem in Word is a memory corruption error that appears when malformed documents are handled. Attackers could exploit this to execute arbitrary commands by tricking a user into opening a specially crafted Word document. Microsoft said it's investigating the best course of action to deal with this flaw, as well as another that surfaced in the word processing program last week. For now, Microsoft urges users to be cautious when they open Word attachments that come by way of email. Next is an interview with Burton Group analyst Diana Kelly about the state of messaging security. SearchSecurity.com surveyed 250 IT professionals this summer about their concerns and procedures for dealing with threats that come by way of email, IM, and mobile messaging devices. Respondents were particularly concerned about how to deal with the fast proliferation of instant messaging, a technology they often can't regulate or secure from the IT shop. Less than half of respondents said they have sound written policies to police IM usage, and more than half said at least some of their users rely on free instant messaging systems like AOL or MSN to communicate at work. Meanwhile, only 10% of respondents said they use a third-party product to secure IM. This, even though more than half said they consider IM a breeding ground for malware. For day three of our special report, Kelly talks about technology and procedures that can help IT professionals gain better control of the situation. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Are you struggling to control the many aspects of messaging security in your enterprise? Keeping tabs on email security, instant messaging security, and mobile device security is a challenge for every InfoSec pro. But SearchSecurity.com's Messaging Security School is here to help. Each on-demand lesson is packed with tools and tactics to help you develop and implement an effective messaging defense strategy. Learn essential practices for securing mobile devices, study countermeasures for malicious email code, and gain the keys to safeguard instant messaging. Start your coursework today at SearchSecurity.com/messaging. That's SearchSecurity.com/messaging.
Diana, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Phil. It's good to be here.
Diana, let's start by talking about some of the big threats IT professionals have to worry about when it comes to messaging programs, particularly IM and email. Talk about what's at stake for an organization.
Sure. I think the number one thing that IT admins think about when we talk about messaging malware that can come through IM or email is just the infection vector for that malware to spread. So whether someone's clicking on a link or they're somehow giving information out that they don't know necessarily that they're giving out, such as if you're using HTML in your email and you pull down an image, well, someone's going to know you pulled down that image in order to view it unless you have a setting to prevent that. Also you can get viruses from documents. You can get them from clicking on the document from somebody you don't trust, but also you may actually get a virus from somebody you do trust because the person that you're communicating with may not have the correct protection. So that infection vector is really the number one issue that's at stake, but there's actually a lot more that's at stake for an organization. So one is the misuse that comes about with IM and with email. You may have employees that are talking outside of the company about things that they shouldn't. They may be downloading things that they shouldn't onto their desktops. They may not be dangerous for the company from a malware perspective, but it may actually be illegal for them to have some of that content that they're downloading, or it could just be against your own corporate policy.
So if you have the situation where your biggest danger is the users themselves, what are some steps IT professionals can do to control that user behavior, whether you're talking about education or policy enforcement? I tend to hear a lot from IT administrators that I interview about the need for both.
Yeah, it's very, very true. I mean, we can't discount that education is a critical factor with our users, because a good portion of what does occur is preventable with correct user education. So you want to get that low-hanging fruit, actually provide them training, make sure that they've signed off, that they understand the acceptable uses policy. A lot of people don't know, don't click on a link from someone you don't trust. So, you know, you want to really start there and let them know that. Now, having said that, there are a number of more opaque techniques that are being employed now. So you may get an email that appears to come from someone you trust saying, here's a great link. The link may, it's got interesting information about security, for example. And the link may actually appear to be acceptable because you may be looking at the hypertext rather than the actual hyperlink. You click on it, but now you've gone to a bad site. So although user education is really important, you do need to layer that for a full spectrum defense with enforcement of policy that comes from a purely technical perspective. So examples of that would be you could actually do filtering so that you block the ability to click on a link that goes to a site that's been filtered by your filtering software, or you could prevent users from IMing or emailing to certain other users outside of the organization because that's part of your policy. So you can start to take steps to do technical support that then complements and strengthens that education that you've done with your users.
Sure. Now, you've answered this question somewhat already, but I want to try to get a little more specific. And this is regarding how administrators can protect their networks against, you talked about things like malicious attachments and how to deal with them, but talk a bit about the evolving malware that is out there that can be delivered via email or IM or mobile messaging devices. What are some of the more problematic, the newer malware that's out there that you think is a concern, and what can be done about it?
Right. I think one of the biggest concerns in malware is that it's gone from the bragging rights of someone just trying to see, hey, can I get this to work, to it's actual criminal activity. So the people that are sending it are extremely motivated to make this as successful as possible. And looking at phishing, which is a way to get people to click on a link by making an email or an IM appear like it's something you'd want to actually read and click on. There's something in a subset of that called spear phishing. We actually carefully focus the user, and as you make it more focused at the user, it appears more legitimate, and that can make it look more opaque. So that's one of the more concerning things for me, at least, is that it's harder for the users to identify what's actually going on with that link or with that email.
Sure. So now in the back end in the IT department, what are some of the techniques that they can be using, or how should they be altering some of their current techniques when it comes to how they filter for some of this junk at the email gateway, or also, you know, how they try to block these things on the desktop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great point. And, you know, you have to actually take into account use cases, because sometimes companies will say, and there are three typical areas where you can do the filtering and the scanning. You could do it using a managed or hosted provider. You could do it on your own network but in a gateway, or you could do it at the host. And sometimes the question will come up, which one is the best? And there are pros and cons to each approach. One thing to keep in mind, however, is that whether it's managed or not, if it's a managed provider or gateway or not, that if you're looking to do everything on the host itself, so that endpoint desktop, mm-hmm. you have to take into consideration, do I actually have control of that desktop? Because if that person isn't an employee, for example, that desktop may come in from a contractor, from a consultant who's on site, from someone who's come in just to do a sales demonstration. So you start looking at segmenting and zoning your LAN, as well as at that point, gateways are going to be the protection point, because you might not be able to deploy an agent on the host. Another consideration that actually speaks towards the host protection is if you look at your remote users, your users that may not be able to redirect them into a gateway that's on your site, or sometimes you've got a user, they're in some area of the globe and they're going on an untrusted network because they need to get on the internet, they may not be able to get back to the corporate gateway to get that filtering capacity. So at that point, you want to have something on an agent based on the host that can do the antivirus scanning, do some of the filtering for that device, at least as much as you can support on the host.
In your research, have you gotten any feedback from people on some of the filtering technology? This would be, particular vendors who people might find particularly effective, whether it's for dealing with this issue at the desktop or at the gateway.
Well, we did research into some of the larger vendors or some of the well-known vendors overall in the messaging hygiene space. And as I said, they break down into three areas. So there's the software-based solutions. Sophos has one. Symantec with Brightmail has one. And I'm not endorsing any of these or saying one is more effective necessarily. I'm just talking about some of the well-known ones. Appliances such as Barracuda and CipherTrust, and then the managed services, of which there are quite a number. FrontBridge, which was purchased by Microsoft in 2005, August last year, 2005, which has now been rebranded as, I think it's called EHS, the Exchange Hosting Service. Message Labs, Postini, and MS Logic are all examples of, for the strict email email gateways. There are also some IM-specific companies out there that have gateways as well, such as Aconix and FaceTime.
Have you done a lot of research on the email security appliance front? And if you have, talk a bit about their value.
Well, it's interesting. It's sometimes it's really more of an architectural decision and a number of other decisions about whether you want to go with that software solution, host solutions, appliance solution. So rather than looking strictly at appliance, we encourage customers to take a look at the other considerations or additional considerations in addition to that. Do I want software, managed host, or appliance? To take a look at the kinds of detection techniques that are being used by that vendor. So are they more proactive or reactive? Are they strict signature based? Are they taking a look at some of the other things that you can include, such as heuristics or reputational systems? What kind of authentication support and policy enforcement support do those systems provide? Mm-hmm. And also, what's the level of the threat research of the company that's actually providing it? Some of the solutions allow you to use engines from a number of different vendors. Some of them have their own engines. But what's their level of threat research? So how strong are they in terms of that information that they're bringing to bear as they're making a decision, looking at a particular message or a particular attachment for, hey, is there some malware connected to this?
Now, just as I had asked you with the software on the software side, if you'd gotten any feedback from people on some particular vendors who may be at the cutting edge. Are you hearing anything about it, vendors who may be at the cutting edge on the appliance side of things?
Well, I had actually mentioned software, appliance, and managed service providers, and in the appliance space, some examples are Barracuda and CipherTrust.
What are some technologies out there that IT professionals should be looking at to specifically safeguard data that is stored on mobile messaging devices?
Right. Well, there are some antivirus solutions for the mobile messaging devices. There are also encryption is actually a big one that comes into play on the mobile messaging device because at this point, and there's been a lot of debate in the industry about when are we going to see that big worm going across the from cell phone to cell phone. And outside of the U.S. in certain areas of the globe, it's more common. Bluetooth attacks can be fairly common in certain areas of the world. But in general, the big concern right now that's going on with the mobiles is not so much the worry about the viruses or the malware as much as it is about what do I do if somebody loses this particular device. So looking at encryption on the handheld solutions.
Again, Diana Kelly from Burton Group, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's Security Wire Weekly from SearchSecurity.com. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at SearchSecurity.com/news. And you can download past episodes of Security Wire Weekly on our podcast page at SearchSecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks for listening.